Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. Today we'll have the latest on Wednesday's chilling attack on the U.S. Capitol, including reactions from local lawmakers who were trapped during the ordeal, as well as reactions from national leaders in both parties joining a growing call for accountability. An insurrectionist killed by police during that attack on the Capitol was from San Diego, with ties to East County. We'll have details on today's show. Then, from Public News Service's 2021 Talk, we'll have a report on options being seriously considered by leaders in Washington, D.C. to potentially remove President Donald Trump from office for inciting the violence at the Capitol, where dozens of police were injured, one policeman has died, and several people who stormed the Capitol during the insurrection have also died. Those options include invoking the 25th Amendment or, potentially, a second impeachment of the president. San Diego's District Attorney Summer Steffens has charged a La Mesa police officer with falsifying a report on the controversial stop of Amare Johnson, a black man falsely accused of assaulting the officer on May 28th. But the DA also announced that no charges will be filed against a La Mesa police detective who shot Leslie Furcron in the head with a beanbag during a protest that turned violent outside the La Mesa police station on May 30th. January 31st is the deadline to sign up for health care coverage under Covered California, and we'll have details on how to sign up on today's show. On Crime Beat, hear about a $1,000 reward being offered for information leading to the arrest in the shooting death of a gunshot victim who was dropped off in the parking lot outside Grossmont Hospital in late December. On Green Scene, hear why environmentalists are criticizing a decision by the Trump administration that endangers dolphins, whales, and sea turtles. We'll also have information on a new way for you to reach help during an emergency locally by texting 911. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show, where East County matters. This is East County Magazine's Capitol Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital. This is Miriam Raftery with East County Magazine's Capitol Report. San Diego's congressional representatives were among those present at the Capitol during a terrifying takeover Wednesday by armed supporters of President Donald Trump, who disrupted a joint session of Congress during the certification of the presidential election. Legislators were evacuated and the Capitol locked down after the insurrectionists stormed the building and forced their way inside, looting and vandalizing. Dozens of police officers were injured and one officer has died. Several protesters also died, including a San Diego woman shot by police as she climbed through a broken window into the Capitol. These were not peaceful protesters. Pipe bombs were found at both Democratic and Republican national headquarters. A full-sized gallows with a hangman's noose was erected outside the Capitol. Some of the insurrectionists inside carried guns and zip ties, suggesting an intent to take hostages or potentially kill top elected officials. The National Guard was ultimately deployed to aid Capitol Police overwhelmed by the mob. Tear gas and smoke bombs were used to disperse them. While some members of Congress were swiftly evacuated to a secure location, others were trapped in the House gallery, where they huddled on the floor as the violent takeover ensued. The National Guard eventually deployed under orders not of President Trump, who refused to dispatch them, but President Mike Pence to secure the building and clear out the insurgents. Many questions have been raised over why more was not done earlier and whether there may be conspirators within the police or the administration that conspired in what many believe was an attempted coup. After the building was secured, legislators bravely returned. The Senate then certified Joe Biden as the winner of the presidential election by an overwhelming 93-6 vote, with nearly all Republicans joining with Democrats and many Republicans denouncing the president for inciting the violent mob, including past Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney and staunch Republican loyalists Lindsey Graham and Senate Leader Mitch McConnell. The House then certified the results as well, although more than 100 Republicans voted to reject the Arizona electors, including East County's newly elected Republican Congressman Daryl Issa. Election officials in all 50 states have assured that results are accurate, and judges in some 24 court cases filed by Trump's lawyers found no evidence of fraud. San Diego Congresswoman Sarah Jacobs, a Democrat sworn in earlier this week, was in the House chamber during the siege. She tweeted, "My staff and I are safe. The Capitol complex remains on lockdown and everyone should stay clear of the area." She later called for new impeachment proceedings against President Trump, an action that even some Republicans now say they support. San Diego Congressman Mike Levine tweeted, "I am sheltering in place due to multiple threats from suspicious packages and Trump supporters storming the Capitol, but I am safe. I am incredibly grateful for the brave Capitol police officers trying to keep us safe." Democratic Representative Scott Peters posted in response to text messages from supporters, "I'm safe. Thanks for the text." Congressman Juan Vargas, also a Democrat whose district includes parts of East County, posted a video stating in part, "We are going to defend democracy. The people voted for Joe Biden to be president. Joe Biden will be president. As soon as they breach that wall, we will fight back," he said. "That's anarchy out there." Vargas later revealed that he'd instructed his staff to use flagpoles to repel invaders if their secure location was breached. Congressman Daryl Issa, who filled the seat vacated by Duncan Hunter's resignation, denounced the violence as inexcusable, adding, "Nothing justifies it, and I condemn it in the strongest way possible. Everyone protesting in the Capitol should leave immediately," but many felt that leaving was not enough. ICE's opponent in the November election, Amar Campanajar, tweeted, "Where are the arrests?" Since then, dozens have been arrested. Vice President Mike Pence tweeted during the siege, "Peaceful protest is the right of every American, but this attack on our Capitol will not be tolerated and those involved will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law." President-elect Biden forcefully condemned the violence, stating it's not protest, it's insurrection. He added that it borders on sedition and called on Trump to publicly address the nation and call for an end to the siege. Biden added, "The words of a president matter." He said, "At their best, the words of a president can inspire. At their worst, they can incite." Minutes later, President Trump posted a brief one-minute video to tell the insurrectionists, "You have to go home now. We have to have peace." But he also told the rioters, "I love you." The president went on to repeat false claims that the election had been stolen, stoking conspiracy theories and fanning the flames. Wednesday morning, just before the siege on the Capitol, Trump spoke to a rally at the White House, encouraged his backers to march to the Capitol, and asked legislators to challenge the results from swing states. "You'll never take back our country with weakness," Trump stated. "You have to be strong. We have come to demand that Congress do the right thing and only count the electors who have been lawfully slated." And at that same rally, Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani urged combat for the combatants. It wasn't until Thursday, with bipartisan calls to remove the president growing and after Congress certified Biden as the winner, that Trump finally conceded the election, denounced the violence, and agreed to a peaceful transition of power, reportedly after some aides warned that he could be removed from president if he did not do so. But many believe those words are too little, too late. They blame the president for inciting an attempted coup and voice fears over what an unstable President Trump could do in the next few days. Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger of Illinois described the riot at the Capitol as a coup attempt, and the prominent Republican called the president's video message cowardice. Tom Bossert, former Homeland Security advisor appointed by Trump, called the siege un-American, also blaming Trump. He said, "The president undermined American democracy baselessly for months. As a result, he's culpable for this siege and an utter disgrace." He called for prosecution of those involved in the insurrection. The normally conservative National Manufacturers Association issued this statement: "Vice President Pence, who was evacuated from the Capitol, should seriously consider working with the cabinet to invoke the 25th Amendment to preserve democracy. This is not the vision that manufacturers believe in and work so hard to defend." Democratic leaders in the House and Senate called on Pence to invoke the 25th Amendment to remove Trump from office immediately and warned that if he does not, the House has drawn up new impeachment papers on grounds that include inciting the violent insurrection. Although it remains far from clear whether the Republican-controlled Senate would now vote to convict, an action that would require a two-thirds vote. Several top cabinet officials have resigned in protest over the president's incitement of the violent takeover of the Capitol, including previously staunch loyalists, such as Education Secretary Betsy DeVos and Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao, wife of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. But the many resignations raises the question of whether there are enough cabinet officers left to invoke the 25th Amendment. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi tweeted Friday that she's had conversations with top defense leaders in an effort to assure that an angry President Trump cannot initiate a military attack or launch nuclear weapons in the final days of his presidency before Biden takes office on January 20th.
This is Jonathan Getz. A woman shot and killed by police while breaking into the U.S. Capitol during Wednesday's insurrection has been identified as Ashley Babbitt, a San Diego area resident. An Air Force veteran described by KUSI as high-level security officer during her military service, Babbitt was the CEO of Fowler's Pool Service and Supply in Spring Valley, the San Diego Union-Tribune reports. Although some misleading reports have described her as a, quote, unarmed protester, her documented actions went far beyond constitutionally protected protest activities. The New York Post has published video showing the moment when Babbitt was shot while climbing through a broken window in the Capitol, attempting to illegally access the House chamber where congressional members were holding a hearing on certifying the Electoral College votes from the presidential election. The video shows armed officers rushing upstairs into a crowd of insurrectionists intent on disrupting the peaceful transfer of power process, many wearing red MAGA hats as they attempted to break down a barricaded set of doors. The crowd lifted up Babbitt, who was wearing a backpack with a flag, as she tried to climb through a broken window in one of the doors and was shot by law enforcement. Her husband told KUSI that Babbitt was a strong supporter of President Donald Trump. The president urged his supporters in a rally outside the White House Wednesday morning to march to the Capitol and protest certification of electors. Thousands mobbed the Capitol, terrorizing lawmakers who were forced to flee or shelter in place. Some also vandalized and looted the Capitol, stealing items including the Speaker's podium. The BBC reports that 4 people were killed and 14 police officers were injured. At least 52 people have been arrested to date, and the FBI is requesting tips on others involved in the insurrection. Congress later reconvened to certify President-elect Joe Biden as the election winner. Babbitt's ex-husband, Timothy McGinty, called her a, quote, wonderful woman with a big heart and a strong mind, saying she loved America with all her heart. Before the protest, she reportedly tweeted, nothing will stop us now. CBS affiliate WUSA reports that a protester who witnessed the shooting said law enforcement officers warned the crowd to, quote, get back, get down, get out of the way. He said Babbitt didn't heed the warning and was shot, falling back onto the witness. Washington Metropolitan Police Chief Robert Conti told reporters during a press conference that Babbitt was transported to a hospital where, despite life-saving efforts, she was pronounced dead. Times of San Diego reports that the shooting is being investigated by the police department's Internal Affairs Division.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.
Welcome to 2021 Talks, where we track the transition in uncharted territory.
By inciting sedition, as he did yesterday, he must be removed from office. While it's only 13 days left, any day can be a horror show for America.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and others call for Vice President Mike Pence to invoke the 25th Amendment and remove President Donald Trump from office for inciting violence at the Capitol on Tuesday. Illinois Representative Adam Kinzinger was the first Republican to say Trump must resign or be removed, calling him unmoored now from reality. The Wall Street Journal is calling for him to step down. Cabinet members Betsy DeVos and Elaine Chao resigned yesterday. Reportedly, Pence and other cabinet officials are against invoking the 25th, which means likely the only other option is another House impeachment process. Back on Twitter last night, Trump posted a video admitting only, for the first time, that there would be a new administration come January 20th. How his acknowledgement affects proceedings against him is unclear. The National Task Force on Election Crises issued a statement calling for Trump's removal now for the safety of the country. On a press briefing, Ohio State University law professor Ned Foley explained that impeachment can happen now or later. If both chambers of Congress approve an impeachment, Trump couldn't run for office again.
You can impeach a federal office holder after they've left office. there are two constitutional penalties upon conviction in an impeachment situation. One is removal when the office holder is still in office. The other constitutionally designated penalty is disqualification from further office.
The U.S. Justice Department said yesterday they would not rule out charging Trump with inciting violence. Former Attorney General and ardent Trump supporter William Barr said the president's conduct betrayed his office. Biden's nominee for Attorney General, Merrick Garland, signaled that under his leadership, the Justice Department would avoid politics. Here, he quotes former Attorney General Ed Leavy.
Nothing can more weaken the quality of life or more imperil the realization of the goals we all hold dear than our failure to make clear by words and deed that our law is not the instrument of partisan purpose.
But failure to hold Trump and others accountable for inciting violence has consequences, says Rachel Kleinfeld, senior fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace.
I would say that we're on a rising trend and that there are inflection points. And I think what we saw yesterday was an inflection point where if there is significant legal accountability, you might see violence go down. But if there is not that kind of accountability quite swiftly, you'll see this as a win, and wins lead to more recruitment.
The Capitol Police Chief will resign, said a spokesperson yesterday. The House Sergeant-at-Arms already has, and Senate Minority Leader Democrat Chuck Schumer says he'll fire the Senate Sergeant-at-Arms if he hasn't resigned by January 20th. Michelle Obama entered the debate, calling on social media companies to stop enabling Trump and ban him permanently. He's currently banned on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat indefinitely. For Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Laura Ross-Bartellum. Thanks for listening.
San Diego County District Attorney Summer Steffen has filed a criminal charge against a former La Mesa police officer in connection with an arrest of Omri Johnson near the Grossmont trolley station in La Mesa. The criminal complaint alleges that on May 28th of last year, Officer Matthew Dages filed a police report that contained false information. The incident was shown in a video that went viral on social media, sparking racial justice protests. The controversial stop occurred 3 days after the killing of George Floyd by a white police officer in Minneapolis, triggering nationwide protests, and 2 days before a riot resulted in looting, vandalism, and the burning down of three buildings in La Mesa. The Johnson arrest has been likened to a fuse that ignited a powder keg of explosive rage over mistreatment of black suspects by white police officers. Dages is accused of falsifying the reason for Johnson's detention, as well as his actions. Police body camera footage failed to back up Dages' claim that Johnson had assaulted the officer, and instead showed Dages pushing Johnson into a seated position. The former La Mesa police officer is charged with one felony count of filing a false report. If convicted, he faces up to 3 years in prison. Dages had been employed as a La Mesa police officer since 2018, but was fired due to this incident shortly after it occurred. The termination was recently upheld by the City of La Mesa Personnel Appeals Board after a hearing. Johnson has filed a civil lawsuit against the city and Dages. District Attorney Summer Steffen stated, "When someone in a position of trust, such as a police officer, commits a crime, it causes tremendous harm and shakes the community's confidence in those who are sworn to protect them. Everyone is accountable under the law, and as we've done previously, we will file criminal charges when they are supported by facts and evidence." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
District Attorney Summer Steffen's office announced that it will not file criminal charges against a La Mesa police detective who fired a beanbag round that struck Leslie Furcron in the forehead, leaving her blind in one eye. The injury occurred during a protest on May 30th outside the La Mesa police station, which turned into a violent riot. Furcron has filed a civil lawsuit against the City of La Mesa. The protest began peacefully, but by the time Furcron arrived in the evening, protesters had begun throwing water bottles, glass bottles, and rocks the size of baseballs toward officers at the police station, according to the DA's report. A Molotov cocktail, or burning bottle bomb, had also been hurled. Some protesters also climbed onto an armored vehicle, vandalizing it with rocks and paint. Police made several announcements ordering the crowd to disperse, deployed pepper spray, flashbang devices, and tear gas, but the protesters continued to throw rocks and bottles at officers, also breaking windows of the police station. Detective Eric Knudsen was positioned on a patio above the protesters, assigned to protect the police dispatch center from the attacks. He first fired a beanbag round at a protester who was attempting to hurl a gas canister back at police, but missed, according to the report. He then saw another protester, later identified as Furcron, throw what the detective believed was a rock toward sheriff's deputies. Officer Knudsen, who was about 96 feet from Furcron, fired a beanbag round, which he said was aimed at her torso, but struck her in the head. In fact, Furcron had thrown a beverage can. And body camera video released by police shows her stepping forward as she was struck in the head. She fell to the ground and was taken to a hospital by civilians in the crowd. According to the DA's office, Detective Knudsen's mistaken belief that Furcron had thrown a rock was not unreasonable given the totality of the circumstances the officers were dealing with. Placed in the context of the violent riot taking place at his location, fires set at City Hall, and other information that informed his actions. The fact that Ms. Furcron suffered serious injuries is a tragedy. However, the law and the evidence do not support a finding that Detective Knudsen committed a crime in this case, the DA concludes. The DA review concluded that amid the violent riot that had broken out and the attacks on sheriff's deputies and officers, Knudsen was acting in defense of others and himself when he fired the beanbag round and therefore bears no state criminal liability for his actions. Furcron's attorney, Dante Pride, blasted the DA's report. He told the San Diego Union-Tribune that there is no accountability. He said his client suffered life-altering damage the DA passes off as, oh well, it was a mistake. It makes absolutely no sense to me, the attorney concluded. The FBI is conducting a separate federal investigation into this incident. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Jonathan Getz with a public service announcement from the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ, the network for social justice. Access to affordable, quality health care is important now more than ever during the COVID-19 pandemic. Californians can sign up for health insurance or make changes to their existing plans through Covered California during open enrollment. Open enrollment for healthcare through Covered California began on November 1st and ends January 31st, 2021. Coverage may be more affordable than you think. Find out more about your healthcare options at coveredca.com. Free help is available if you have questions about signing up or want to talk through your options with a trained professional. You can request a call back to speak with a licensed agent.
California has extended the deadline until January 13th for businesses and nonprofits to apply for COVID-19 relief grants. These grants range from $5,000 to $25,000. The original deadline was January 8th, but it's now January 13th. To apply or get more information, you can visit CAReliefGrant.com. Again, that site is CAReliefGrant.com. This is Miriam Raftery, reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from our region.
COVID-19 vaccines for nursing home patients and staff have arrived in our region. This week, vaccinations were provided at Edgemore Skilled Nursing Facility in Santee, for example. Edgemore, run by the County Health and Human Services Agency, was recently named the best facility of its kind in California. The pandemic lockdown has been particularly difficult on seniors and disabled individuals in nursing homes who have been barred from having visitors for months. Nursing facilities account for only 5% of the state's COVID-19 cases, but 35% of all deaths, the Associated Press reported earlier this week. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is Miriam Raftery with a Crime Beat report. Crime Stoppers is offering a reward of up to $1,000 for information leading to an arrest in the fatal shooting of Jose Santos Acevedo Torres Day. A red Honda sedan dropped off the 36-year-old shooting victim on December 30th, shortly before 7 p.m. in the ambulance outside of Sharp Grossmont Hospital's emergency room, then left. The driver is unknown. Torres Day suffered a gunshot wound in his chest. It is unknown who shot him or where. He was pronounced dead after life-saving measures were performed by hospital staff. The La Mesa Police Department is seeking public help to determine the circumstances of Torres Day's death. If you have any information, please call La Mesa Police Department at 619-667-7532. Tipsters can also call Crime Stoppers' anonymous toll-free tip line at 888-580-TIPS, T-I-P-S. Again, that number is 888-580-TIPS, or you can visit sdcrimestoppers.com. You can remain anonymous and be eligible for the Crime Stopper reward of up to $1,000 for any information leading to an arrest in this case.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
Conservation groups are expressing outrage over the Trump administration's rollback of the Migratory Bird Protection Act, or MBTA. With the change announced on Tuesday, companies could no longer be held accountable for killing birds in the course of business as long as their actions don't specifically target birds. Mike Leahy with the National Wildlife Federation sees it as another example of President Donald Trump weakening environmental protections.
This rule is basically the administration flipping the birds and saying it doesn't matter what Congress or the courts say, we can interpret laws however we want.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service claims it's clarifying the rule to provide regulatory certainty and cut down on lawsuits. In the past, the MBTA has been used to make companies like BP pay to clean up the massive oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. It was also intended to deter bird deaths from power lines or poison from the use of banned pesticides. Leahy points to a study published in Science magazine that estimates the United States has lost 3 billion birds since 1970. That's 1 in 4 birds.
Oil waste pits kill somewhere between 500,000 and 1 million birds a year. Power lines can kill nearly 70 million birds per year. Communication towers, around 7 million birds per year.
Unless the courts do it first, the Biden administration is expected to reverse this decision, but it might not be a simple process. Conservation groups would like to see a new permitting program that encourages companies' best practices to avoid bird deaths. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
The San Diego Sheriff's Department has announced that a new service has been added for requesting emergency help. You can now text 911. The option covers requesting help from the Sheriff's Department, Fire and Emergency Medical Services, and all police departments countywide. While it's still recommended to call 911 first, this new feature is to be used if a call cannot be placed. The department does caution the option might be slower than calling. Texting 911 is for emergencies only. The option remains the best choice for those who are unable to speak due to a dangerous situation, as well as those who are deaf or hearing impaired. You can visit sdsheriff.net for more information. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, A.K. Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show. At KNSJ, our mission is to reflect voices and views across our diverse region. That's why our programming includes Native American news, Spanish language programming, coverage of issues facing immigrants, refugees, the homeless, working people, inner city and rural residents, and others whose voices are too often not heard in other media. Please help support and sustain KNSJ, your network for social justice, by donating or making a sustaining pledge at www.knsj.org.
Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso, the network for social justice. Today we'll have the latest on Wednesday's chilling attack on the U.S. Capitol, including reactions from local lawmakers who were trapped during the ordeal, as well as reactions from national leaders in both parties joining a growing call for accountability. An insurrectionist killed by police during that attack on the Capitol was from San Diego, with ties to East County. We'll have details on today's show. Then, from Public News Service's 2021 Talk, we'll have a report on options being seriously considered by leaders in Washington, D.C. to potentially remove President Donald Trump from office for inciting the violence at the Capitol, where dozens of police were injured, one policeman has died, and several people who stormed the Capitol during the insurrection have also died. Those options include invoking the 25th Amendment or, potentially, a second impeachment of the president. San Diego's District Attorney Summer Steffens has charged a La Mesa police officer with falsifying a report on the controversial stop of Amare Johnson, a black man falsely accused of assaulting the officer on May 28th. But the DA also announced that no charges will be filed against a La Mesa police detective who shot Leslie Furcron in the head with a beanbag during a protest that turned violent outside the La Mesa police station on May 30th. January 31st is the deadline to sign up for health care coverage under Covered California, and we'll have details on how to sign up on today's show. On Crime Beat, hear about a $1,000 reward being offered for information leading to the arrest in the shooting death of a gunshot victim who was dropped off in the parking lot outside Grossmont Hospital in late December. On Green Scene, hear why environmentalists are criticizing a decision by the Trump administration that endangers dolphins, whales, and sea turtles. We'll also have information on a new way for you to reach help during an emergency locally by texting 911. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. This is East County Magazine's Capitol Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital. This is Miriam Raftery with East County Magazine's Capitol Report. San Diego's congressional representatives were among those present at the Capitol during a terrifying takeover Wednesday by armed supporters of President Donald Trump, who disrupted a joint session of Congress during the certification of the presidential election. Legislators were evacuated and the Capitol locked down after the insurrectionists stormed the building and forced their way inside, looting and vandalizing. Dozens of police officers were injured and one officer has died. Several protesters also died, including a San Diego woman shot by police as she climbed through a broken window into the Capitol. These were not peaceful protesters. Pipe bombs were found at both Democratic and Republican national headquarters. A full-sized gallows with a hangman's noose was erected outside the Capitol. Some of the insurrectionists inside carried guns and zip ties, suggesting an intent to take hostages or potentially kill top elected officials. The National Guard was ultimately deployed to aid Capitol Police overwhelmed by the mob. Tear gas and smoke bombs were used to disperse them. While some members of Congress were swiftly evacuated to a secure location, others were trapped in the House gallery, where they huddled on the floor as the violent takeover ensued. The National Guard eventually deployed under orders not of President Trump, who refused to dispatch them, but President Mike Pence to secure the building and clear out the insurgents. Many questions have been raised over why more was not done earlier and whether there may be conspirators within the police or the administration that conspired in what many believe was an attempted coup. After the building was secured, legislators bravely returned. The Senate then certified Joe Biden as the winner of the presidential election by an overwhelming 93-6 vote, with nearly all Republicans joining with Democrats and many Republicans denouncing the president for inciting the violent mob, including past Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney and staunch Republican loyalists Lindsey Graham and Senate Leader Mitch McConnell. The House then certified the results as well, although more than 100 Republicans voted to reject the Arizona electors, including East County's newly elected Republican Congressman Daryl Issa. Election officials in all 50 states have assured that results are accurate, and judges in some 24 court cases filed by Trump's lawyers found no evidence of fraud. San Diego Congresswoman Sarah Jacobs, a Democrat sworn in earlier this week, was in the House chamber during the siege. She tweeted, "My staff and I are safe. The Capitol complex remains on lockdown and everyone should stay clear of the area." She later called for new impeachment proceedings against President Trump, an action that even some Republicans now say they support. San Diego Congressman Mike Levine tweeted, "I am sheltering in place due to multiple threats from suspicious packages and Trump supporters storming the Capitol, but I am safe. I am incredibly grateful for the brave Capitol police officers trying to keep us safe." Democratic Representative Scott Peters posted in response to text messages from supporters, "I'm safe. Thanks for the text." Congressman Juan Vargas, also a Democrat whose district includes parts of East County, posted a video stating in part, "We are going to defend democracy. The people voted for Joe Biden to be president. Joe Biden will be president. As soon as they breach that wall, we will fight back," he said. "That's anarchy out there." Vargas later revealed that he'd instructed his staff to use flagpoles to repel invaders if their secure location was breached. Congressman Daryl Issa, who filled the seat vacated by Duncan Hunter's resignation, denounced the violence as inexcusable, adding, "Nothing justifies it, and I condemn it in the strongest way possible. Everyone protesting in the Capitol should leave immediately," but many felt that leaving was not enough. ICE's opponent in the November election, Amar Campanajar, tweeted, "Where are the arrests?" Since then, dozens have been arrested. Vice President Mike Pence tweeted during the siege, "Peaceful protest is the right of every American, but this attack on our Capitol will not be tolerated and those involved will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law." President-elect Biden forcefully condemned the violence, stating it's not protest, it's insurrection. He added that it borders on sedition and called on Trump to publicly address the nation and call for an end to the siege. Biden added, "The words of a president matter." He said, "At their best, the words of a president can inspire. At their worst, they can incite." Minutes later, President Trump posted a brief one-minute video to tell the insurrectionists, "You have to go home now. We have to have peace." But he also told the rioters, "I love you." The president went on to repeat false claims that the election had been stolen, stoking conspiracy theories and fanning the flames. Wednesday morning, just before the siege on the Capitol, Trump spoke to a rally at the White House, encouraged his backers to march to the Capitol, and asked legislators to challenge the results from swing states. "You'll never take back our country with weakness," Trump stated. "You have to be strong. We have come to demand that Congress do the right thing and only count the electors who have been lawfully slated." And at that same rally, Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani urged combat for the combatants. It wasn't until Thursday, with bipartisan calls to remove the president growing and after Congress certified Biden as the winner, that Trump finally conceded the election, denounced the violence, and agreed to a peaceful transition of power, reportedly after some aides warned that he could be removed from president if he did not do so. But many believe those words are too little, too late. They blame the president for inciting an attempted coup and voice fears over what an unstable President Trump could do in the next few days. Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger of Illinois described the riot at the Capitol as a coup attempt, and the prominent Republican called the president's video message cowardice. Tom Bossert, former Homeland Security advisor appointed by Trump, called the siege un-American, also blaming Trump. He said, "The president undermined American democracy baselessly for months. As a result, he's culpable for this siege and an utter disgrace." He called for prosecution of those involved in the insurrection. The normally conservative National Manufacturers Association issued this statement: "Vice President Pence, who was evacuated from the Capitol, should seriously consider working with the cabinet to invoke the 25th Amendment to preserve democracy. This is not the vision that manufacturers believe in and work so hard to defend." Democratic leaders in the House and Senate called on Pence to invoke the 25th Amendment to remove Trump from office immediately and warned that if he does not, the House has drawn up new impeachment papers on grounds that include inciting the violent insurrection. Although it remains far from clear whether the Republican-controlled Senate would now vote to convict, an action that would require a two-thirds vote. Several top cabinet officials have resigned in protest over the president's incitement of the violent takeover of the Capitol, including previously staunch loyalists, such as Education Secretary Betsy DeVos and Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao, wife of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. But the many resignations raises the question of whether there are enough cabinet officers left to invoke the 25th Amendment. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi tweeted Friday that she's had conversations with top defense leaders in an effort to assure that an angry President Trump cannot initiate a military attack or launch nuclear weapons in the final days of his presidency before Biden takes office on January 20th.
This is Jonathan Getz. A woman shot and killed by police while breaking into the U.S. Capitol during Wednesday's insurrection has been identified as Ashley Babbitt, a San Diego area resident. An Air Force veteran described by KUSI as high-level security officer during her military service, Babbitt was the CEO of Fowler's Pool Service and Supply in Spring Valley, the San Diego Union-Tribune reports. Although some misleading reports have described her as a, quote, unarmed protester, her documented actions went far beyond constitutionally protected protest activities. The New York Post has published video showing the moment when Babbitt was shot while climbing through a broken window in the Capitol, attempting to illegally access the House chamber where congressional members were holding a hearing on certifying the Electoral College votes from the presidential election. The video shows armed officers rushing upstairs into a crowd of insurrectionists intent on disrupting the peaceful transfer of power process, many wearing red MAGA hats as they attempted to break down a barricaded set of doors. The crowd lifted up Babbitt, who was wearing a backpack with a flag, as she tried to climb through a broken window in one of the doors and was shot by law enforcement. Her husband told KUSI that Babbitt was a strong supporter of President Donald Trump. The president urged his supporters in a rally outside the White House Wednesday morning to march to the Capitol and protest certification of electors. Thousands mobbed the Capitol, terrorizing lawmakers who were forced to flee or shelter in place. Some also vandalized and looted the Capitol, stealing items including the speaker's podium. The BBC reports that 4 people were killed and 14 police officers were injured. At least 52 people have been arrested to date, and the FBI is requesting tips on others involved in the insurrection. Congress later reconvened to certify President-elect Joe Biden as the election winner. Babbitt's ex-husband, Timothy McGinty, called her a, quote, wonderful woman with a big heart and a strong mind, saying she loved America with all her heart. Before the protest, she reportedly tweeted, nothing will stop us now. CBS affiliate WUSA reports that a protester who witnessed the shooting said law enforcement officers warned the crowd to, quote, get back, get down, get out of the way. He said Babbitt didn't heed the warning and was shot, falling back onto the witness. Washington Metropolitan Police Chief Robert Conti told reporters during a press conference that Babbitt was transported to a hospital where, despite life-saving efforts, she was pronounced dead. Times of San Diego reports that the shooting is being investigated by the police department's Internal Affairs Division.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.
Welcome to 2021 Talks, where we track the transition in uncharted territory.
By inciting sedition, as he did yesterday, he must be removed from office. While it's only 13 days left, any day can be a horror show for America.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and others call for Vice President Mike Pence to invoke the 25th Amendment and remove President Donald Trump from office for inciting violence at the Capitol on Tuesday. Illinois Representative Adam Kinzinger was the first Republican to say Trump must resign or be removed, calling him unmoored now from reality. The Wall Street Journal is calling for him to step down. Cabinet members Betsy DeVos and Elaine Chao resigned yesterday. Reportedly, Pence and other cabinet officials are against invoking the 25th, which means likely the only other option is another House impeachment process. Back on Twitter last night, Trump posted a video admitting only, for the first time, that there would be a new administration come January 20th. How his acknowledgement affects proceedings against him is unclear. The National Task Force on Election Crises issued a statement calling for Trump's removal now for the safety of the country. On a press briefing, Ohio State University law professor Ned Foley explained that impeachment can happen now or later. If both chambers of Congress approve an impeachment, Trump couldn't run for office again.
You can impeach a federal office holder after they've left office. there are two constitutional penalties upon conviction in an impeachment situation. One is removal when the office holder is still in office. The other constitutionally designated penalty is disqualification from further office.
The U.S. Justice Department said yesterday they would not rule out charging Trump with inciting violence. Former Attorney General and ardent Trump supporter William Barr said the president's conduct betrayed his office. Biden's nominee for Attorney General, Merrick Garland, signaled that under his leadership, the Justice Department would avoid politics. Here, he quotes former Attorney General Ed Leavy.
Nothing can more weaken the quality of life or more imperil the realization of the goals we all hold dear than our failure to make clear by words and deed that our law is not the instrument of partisan purpose.
But failure to hold Trump and others accountable for inciting violence has consequences, says Rachel Kleinfeld, senior fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace.
I would say that we're on a rising trend and that there are inflection points. And I think what we saw yesterday was an inflection point where if there is significant legal accountability, you might see violence go down. But if there is not that kind of accountability quite swiftly, you'll see this as a win, and wins lead to more recruitment.
The Capitol Police Chief will resign, said a spokesperson yesterday. The House Sergeant-at-Arms already has, and Senate Minority Leader Democrat Chuck Schumer says he'll fire the Senate Sergeant-at-Arms if he hasn't resigned by January 20th. Michelle Obama entered the debate, calling on social media companies to stop enabling Trump and ban him permanently. He's currently banned on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat indefinitely. For Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Laura Ross-Bartellum. Thanks for listening.
San Diego County District Attorney Summer Steffen has filed a criminal charge against a former La Mesa police officer in connection with an arrest of Omri Johnson near the Grossmont trolley station in La Mesa. The criminal complaint alleges that on May 28th of last year, Officer Matthew Dages filed a police report that contained false information. The incident was shown in a video that went viral on social media, sparking racial justice protests. The controversial stop occurred 3 days after the killing of George Floyd by a white police officer in Minneapolis, triggering nationwide protests, and 2 days before a riot resulted in looting, vandalism, and the burning down of three buildings in La Mesa. The Johnson arrest has been likened to a fuse that ignited a powder keg of explosive rage over mistreatment of black suspects by white police officers. Dages is accused of falsifying the reason for Johnson's detention, as well as his actions. Police body camera footage failed to back up Dages' claim that Johnson had assaulted the officer, and instead showed Dages pushing Johnson into a seated position. The former La Mesa police officer is charged with one felony count of filing a false report. If convicted, he faces up to 3 years in prison. Dages had been employed as a La Mesa police officer since 2018, but was fired due to this incident shortly after it occurred. The termination was recently upheld by the City of La Mesa Personnel Appeals Board after a hearing. Johnson has filed a civil lawsuit against the city and Dages. District Attorney Summer Steffen stated, "When someone in a position of trust, such as a police officer, commits a crime, it causes tremendous harm and shakes the community's confidence in those who are sworn to protect them. Everyone is accountable under the law, and as we've done previously, we will file criminal charges when they are supported by facts and evidence." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
District Attorney Summer Steffen's office announced that it will not file criminal charges against a La Mesa police detective who fired a beanbag round that struck Leslie Furcron in the forehead, leaving her blind in one eye. The injury occurred during a protest on May 30th outside the La Mesa police station, which turned into a violent riot. Furcron has filed a civil lawsuit against the City of La Mesa. The protest began peacefully, but by the time Furcron arrived in the evening, protesters had begun throwing water bottles, glass bottles, and rocks the size of baseballs toward officers at the police station, according to the DA's report. A Molotov cocktail, or burning bottle bomb, had also been hurled. Some protesters also climbed onto an armored vehicle, vandalizing it with rocks and paint. Police made several announcements ordering the crowd to disperse, deployed pepper spray, flashbang devices, and tear gas, but the protesters continued to throw rocks and bottles at officers, also breaking windows of the police station. Detective Eric Knudsen was positioned on a patio above the protesters, assigned to protect the police dispatch center from the attacks. He first fired a beanbag round at a protester who was attempting to hurl a gas canister back at police, but missed, according to the report. He then saw another protester, later identified as Furcron, throw what the detective believed was a rock toward sheriff's deputies. Officer Knudsen, who was about 96 feet from Furcron, fired a beanbag round, which he said was aimed at her torso, but struck her in the head. In fact, Furcron had thrown a beverage can. And body camera video released by police shows her stepping forward as she was struck in the head. She fell to the ground and was taken to a hospital by civilians in the crowd. According to the DA's office, Detective Knudsen's mistaken belief that Furcron had thrown a rock was not unreasonable given the totality of the circumstances the officers were dealing with. Placed in the context of the violent riot taking place at his location, fires set at City Hall, and other information that informed his actions. The fact that Ms. Furcron suffered serious injuries is a tragedy. However, the law and the evidence do not support a finding that Detective Knudsen committed a crime in this case, the DA concludes. The DA review concluded that amid the violent riot that had broken out and the attacks on sheriff's deputies and officers, Knudsen was acting in defense of others and himself when he fired the beanbag round and therefore bears no state criminal liability for his actions. Furcron's attorney, Dante Pride, blasted the DA's report. He told the San Diego Union-Tribune that there is no accountability. He said his client suffered life-altering damage the DA passes off as, oh well, it was a mistake. It makes absolutely no sense to me, the attorney concluded. The FBI is conducting a separate federal investigation into this incident. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Jonathan Getz with a public service announcement from the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ, the network for social justice. Access to affordable, quality health care is important now more than ever during the COVID-19 pandemic. Californians can sign up for health insurance or make changes to their existing plans through Covered California during open enrollment. Open enrollment for healthcare through Covered California began on November 1st and ends January 31st, 2021. Coverage may be more affordable than you think. Find out more about your healthcare options at coveredca.com. Free help is available if you have questions about signing up or want to talk through your options with a trained professional. You can request a call back to speak with a licensed agent.
California has extended the deadline until January 13th for businesses and nonprofits to apply for COVID-19 relief grants. These grants range from $5,000 to $25,000. The original deadline was January 8th, but it's now January 13th. To apply or get more information, you can visit CAReliefGrant.com. Again, that site is CAReliefGrant.com. This is Miriam Raftery, reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from our region.
COVID-19 vaccines for nursing home patients and staff have arrived in our region. This week, vaccinations were provided at Edgemore Skilled Nursing Facility in Santee, for example. Edgemore, run by the County Health and Human Services Agency, was recently named the best facility of its kind in California. The pandemic lockdown has been particularly difficult on seniors and disabled individuals in nursing homes who have been barred from having visitors for months. Nursing facilities account for only 5% of the state's COVID-19 cases, but 35% of all deaths, the Associated Press reported earlier this week. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is Miriam Raftery with a Crime Beat report. Crime Stoppers is offering a reward of up to $1,000 for information leading to an arrest in the fatal shooting of Jose Santos Acevedo Torres Day. A red Honda sedan dropped off the 36-year-old shooting victim on December 30th, shortly before 7 p.m. in the ambulance outside of Sharp Grossmont Hospital's emergency room, then left. The driver is unknown. Torres Day suffered a gunshot wound in his chest. It is unknown who shot him or where. He was pronounced dead after life-saving measures were performed by hospital staff. The La Mesa Police Department is seeking public help to determine the circumstances of Torres Day's death. If you have any information, please call La Mesa Police Department at 619-667-7532. Tipsters can also call Crime Stoppers' anonymous toll-free tip line at 888-580-TIPS, T-I-P-S. Again, that number is 888-580-TIPS, or you can visit sdcrimestoppers.com. You can remain anonymous and be eligible for the Crime Stopper reward of up to $1,000 for any information leading to an arrest in this case.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
Conservation groups are expressing outrage over the Trump administration's rollback of the Migratory Bird Protection Act, or MBTA. With the change announced on Tuesday, companies could no longer be held accountable for killing birds in the course of business as long as their actions don't specifically target birds. Mike Leahy with the National Wildlife Federation sees it as another example of President Donald Trump weakening environmental protections.
This rule is basically the administration flipping the birds and saying it doesn't matter what Congress or the courts say, we can interpret laws however we want.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service claims it's clarifying the rule to provide regulatory certainty and cut down on lawsuits. In the past, the MBTA has been used to make companies like BP pay to clean up the massive oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. It was also intended to deter bird deaths from power lines or poison from the use of banned pesticides. Leahy points to a study published in Science magazine that estimates the United States has lost 3 billion birds since 1970. That's 1 in 4 birds.
Oil waste pits kill somewhere between 500,000 and 1 million birds a year. Power lines can kill nearly 70 million birds per year. Communication towers, around 7 million birds per year.
Unless the courts do it first, the Biden administration is expected to reverse this decision, but it might not be a simple process. Conservation groups would like to see a new permitting program that encourages companies' best practices to avoid bird deaths. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
The San Diego Sheriff's Department has announced that a new service has been added for requesting emergency help. You can now text 911. The option covers requesting help from the Sheriff's Department, Fire and Emergency Medical Services, and all police departments countywide. While it's still recommended to call 911 first, this new feature is to be used if a call cannot be placed. The department does caution the option might be slower than calling. Texting 911 is for emergencies only. The option remains the best choice for those who are unable to speak due to a dangerous situation, as well as those who are deaf or hearing impaired. You can visit sdsheriff.net for more information. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Priebel, A.K. Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show. At KNSJ, our mission is to reflect voices and views across our diverse region. That's why our programming includes Native American news, Spanish language programming, coverage of issues facing immigrants, refugees, the homeless, working people, inner city and rural residents, and others whose voices are too often not heard in other media. Please help support and sustain KNSJ, your network for social justice, by donating or making a sustaining pledge at www.knsj.org.